I'd like to now invite the elders to come up on stage with their wives and take their place here and on these seats. Time to get their licks. An ordination is literally a setting apart. See what we did here? These men were sitting with you, and now we've set them apart. Now these men are set apart. We're ordaining them. We are publicly acknowledging that these men, these four men, have been set apart, not by me, not even by you, but by God. These men are called to be elders of this church, and we know that because we have gone through a process of vetting them and testing them and observing them and affirming them, and you, church, voted and affirmed that these men, that you feel that these men are who God has called to lead you and shepherd you. This all began, this whole process began in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. As I wrestled through this over last semester, Peter says, "So I exhort the elders," plural, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you." Shepherd, that's what these guys do. Shepherd you. What does a shepherd do? Feeds, leads, and as I learned last night, gets dirty, blow dries the goats in the bathroom, keeps them alive, keeps them alive. That was a good lesson last night as I'm looking at my hands with afterbirth and goat milk on my hands. And these two little goats are doing great. Thank the Lord. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Now look here. Exercising oversight. What is oversight? Supervision. What does your supervisor do at work? He leads you. He makes decisions. The Bible is very clear what these men are to do. Exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. I want to invite any other ordained man, deacons, pastors, anyone who is ordained to come on stage. We're going to do something here that we see in Acts chapter 6, verse 6, and Acts chapter 13, verse 3. It says, "And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And so we're going to ask the deacons, any other ordained man, James, please, any other ordained man to come and lay, come on up, please, on stage. Yes, any ordained man. Yeah. And please lay your hands on these men, and we're going to pray for them. Pray that the Lord blesses them. Yes, sir. Wild Bill, come on up. All right. Let me pray. Father, God, it is a great honor to stand here today to set these four men apart for your glory, to service in your kingdom, to shepherd this church. I pray, Father, that you would bless them. I pray, God, you would give them wisdom that far exceeds their age and experience and understanding and knowledge. Father, that you would give them gentleness, that you would give them patience, that you would give them courage. Father, that they would be faithful, that they would set an example. And God, I pray that First Baptist would follow them. In Jesus' name, amen. Wives and other ordained men, please take your seats. And then elders, would you please come over here and stand to my left? And before we do this, Joshua, I think you wanted to share something briefly. You can stand over here, gentlemen.
One of the things that I wanted to note as we, and I said I wasn't going to be emotional, as we transition from into this new phase of life, this verse came to mind to me. This is a verse that one of the most influential men in my life shared with us the day that he was moving on to another ministry. This was January 20th of 2002. And this verse says this: "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become so very dear to us." And so when I think about that, I think about the opportunity that you and Kelly have not only shared the gospel day in and day out, but that you shared your lives with us. And I hope that we, as elders, that we will continue in that fashion, that we're not plastic, that we're not fake, that we're not up here for material gain, that we're not up here for notoriety, that we're not up here for a performance, but that we hold the essence of the gospel, that we are both broken and we are beloved. And I pray that message is not only spoken in word as we preach the gospel, but as we live the gospel in our daily life. Amen. And so I just want to say, that verse came to my mind when it says, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own very selves.
Thank you, Joshua.
So I just want to say thank you for that.
Thanks, buddy. So the position of leadership in the church is often referred to as a shepherd, caring for and protecting and feeding God's flock is the principal task of elders. It's for this reason that I've chosen a shepherd's staff to represent the responsibility of pastoral leadership. I hold in my hand a shepherd's staff. It embodies all of the responsibility, accountability, and authority granted to elders by the Bible, God's Word. Men, it's never to be used to bully, intimidate, or dominate. And likewise, church, it should be respected by the congregation. The men who receive the shepherd's staff do so willingly, as God would have them, and are charged to supervise the church and be examples for you to follow. It has been my great honor and privilege to serve as your shepherd these 5+ years. And now it is my great honor and privilege to hand to these men the shepherd's staff, and with it, all biblical responsibility and authority of elders in the church. Don't screw this up. How about a hand for the new elders?